The gospel is no gospel at all. It's no good news if there is no resurrection. The gospel, the word gospel actually means good news. But it isn't good news if there is no resurrection. That should be the main thrust of my sermon this morning. Because if there's no resurrection, really, there's no good news because the man died and he stayed dead. But the gospel is good news because of the resurrection. If you hear anything that I say this morning, hear that. We have good news because our Jesus Christ is alive. Because he overcame death. You see, we know that it was a horrifying time, a really, really terrible weekend for the apostles of Jesus, that Friday morning all the way to Sunday morning. They did not expect those events to take place. They did not expect that Jesus Christ was going to die. They did not want their Messiah to die. Remember, Peter rebuked Jesus at one time when Jesus said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they're going to arrest me. They're going to do all those things. They're going to kill me, but on the third day, I will raise again. And Peter said, that will never happen to you. And Jesus had to tell Peter, get behind me, Satan, because that is God's plan, that I go to the cross. Remember, I've been talking a while about the expectations that the apostles of Jesus Christ had. They expected a king. They expected a palace in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, God's expectation for Jesus was a cross outside of the city of Jerusalem. It was devastating. Imagine your king, the Messiah that you expected, now he's hanging on a cross, suspended between heaven and earth, between two thieves, two criminals. No wonder that Jesus had predicted and the prophecy said that you strike the shepherd and the sheep were scattered. John is the only one who followed through and was there at the side of the tomb. Peter followed for a little while at the courtyard, but you know he denied Jesus three times, and then he was just devastated. They did not expect Jesus to die. They did not expect Jesus to rise from the dead either. Imagine when your dreams and hopes are just shattered by a cross. That's how they felt that Friday. By 3 o'clock, Jesus breathe his last. They thought everything ended with the death of Jesus. Just like a lot of people, they think like, well, you live your life, you're dead, and that's it. That's the end of the story. That's what the apostles thought the end of the story was. Jesus is dead. Everything what we believed about him is false, is a lie. I guess all the dreams and expectations we had about him, they're useless. He's gone. And to me, it's amazing how many times Jesus talked to those men and women and told them, they were going to kill me, but on the third day, I'll be back. They just missed that point. See, fear and insecurity had gripped the apostles and the disciples of Jesus. They did not know what to think about the events on Friday morning, all the way to the Sabbath. And then still, on Sunday morning, they're hiding. And the Bible says that they had their doors locked for fear that, okay, he was our master, we're next. You know how it is, like they just got the captain, so we are the followers, so they're going to come after us. They were hiding, they were fearful men. It's the opposite picture of what DJ described to you this morning, Acts. Months after the resurrection of Jesus. But you see, right now, Friday through Sunday, after the death of Jesus, where are the men? Where are the apostles of Jesus? They're hiding, they're fearful, they don't know what to think. You see, any news about the resurrection would be shocking to them. Because if they had expected the resurrection, I mean, they would have gone home and said, okay, yeah, on Sunday morning we see him again. Don't worry. It's not a big deal. But they didn't think that he was going to rise from the dead. See, like I said, the four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they give us an account of how the resurrection took place. And check this out. They all have women as the first witnesses of the empty tomb. Why women? Because the guys are hiding. They're cowards. Seriously, they don't want to go out. That's what it is. They're like so intimidated. So women can go in and out. And you know, the women have prepared some spices because they wanted to go to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. Jesus Christ, his body was anointed by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. And if you do some research about how they anoint that, it's almost like they mummify the body. And they got these layers. So at the time, and then they start moving the strips of linen around it, that it becomes like a glue. You cannot just free yourself from there. Unless somebody frees you. I mean, we talk about like the linens. And, I mean, you know, they wrapped Jesus into that thing. Besides, he was there. So all that, the ligaments, all the strips, and all that gluey thing that they apply, the spices, you give him 3 days, that thing is going to be solid as a rock. But perhaps you didn't know that about, I mean, you know, we only hear that, oh, yeah, the strips of linens were there. So Jesus is placed in a tomb. So the gospel accounts, like I said, they have women that they went to the tomb also expecting to find the body. And I just want to read for you, we read it this morning to Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Luke 24, I'm reading the NIV. He says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away. That stone that the Bible talks about, it is believed that not even you need more than three men to move that stone because that's how heavy that thing was. So if you read any of the other accounts, the women are thinking on the way there, who's going to roll down the stone? You know, I mean, that thing is heavy. So they're thinking about, like, somebody needs to roll the stone away so that we can go into the tomb and anoint the body of Jesus. So they get here, according to Luke. It says that when they get to the place, the stone is being rolled away already. So they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus Christ. Well, they were wondering about this. Question, why were they wondering if they knew that he was going to rise from the dead? Think about that for a moment. They didn't think that he was going to rise. They're wondering why the body is no longer there. As they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again? Then they remembered his words. Then when they came back from the tomb, they told these things to the 11, because Judas is no longer there. To the 11 and the others, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. And look this, check this out, verse 11. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. It did not make sense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen. Why is it that the body is no longer there, but you have the clothes or the corpse? If people were to steal a body, you take the whole thing with him. Why would you just unwrap him and take him? I mean, some of the many things that you realize, like this resurrection thing, wasn't made up. You know, they found this thing in there, and it's like they don't even know what to think. So Peter, bending over, he said he saw the strips of linen by themselves, went away wondering to himself, what had happened? Peter, the apostle of Jesus, still wondering what happened. You see, my friends, the apostles did not expect the resurrection. Therefore, they could not have made up the resurrection. If you're not expecting something, why would you want to make up a story? I mean, it's such a great story because four gospel talks about it. So they did not expect that he was going to rise from the dead. They did not expect Jesus to die. They did not expect Jesus to rise from the dead. See, the women became the first witnesses of the empty tomb. But you see, somebody wrote that talking about the women and the testimony, because in the first century, women's testimony was not trustworthy. They did not believe. If women tell a tall story, they did not believe. That's how it was in the first century. So therefore, if you were going to make up a story, you would never have women as the first witnesses of the empty tomb if you were going to make it up. If you're going to invent a story, don't say that it was women because nobody's going to believe them anyways. Now, the reason that we have women in four gospel accounts is because it was true. That happened. Luke said it. Mark said it. John and Matthew also said women were the ones who came and found the tomb. And then they told the apostles. The apostles now go to the tomb. Check it out. It's true. It's no longer here. And they still wonder what happened. They have forgotten that Jesus told them that he was going to rise again on the third day. You see, the women were confused as to why the tomb was empty. And they were thinking to themselves, you know, about, we're going to go there. They had a task to accomplish, to anoint the body of Jesus, but the body is no longer there. They don't know who took him. They wonder why the body wasn't there. And then angels intervene. Angels come, and angels, the word angel means messenger. Angel, you know, in America, we have this idea of angels. They all have white, blue eyes and blonde hair. That's not even biblical description of angel. Angel can be anybody. I mean, angels are messengers. Sometimes they don't even have wings. Abraham had two angels, and they were just like regular people. And they ate with Abraham and talked with him. So angels, this one says that the description, that Luke says that their clothes gleamed like lightning. It was like really hard to look up. They're shining. And they told the women, why are you looking for a living person among the dead? Why do you seek for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. And then they say, remember how he told you? He's been saying that to you guys all the 3 years that he's been hanging out with all y'all. He's been telling you that the Christ must suffer and he's going to be killed and that on the third day he will rise again. But they have forgotten. He's not here, he's risen. Remember how he told you. Verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. The resurrection of Jesus verifies his identity. The resurrection of Jesus authenticates who he was. Why do I say that? Because Jesus said that he would die and he would raise again, and he did it. So he proved to the whole world that Jesus is truly who he said he was. Look at what the angel told the women. Remember how he told you. That was going to happen to him. He still did it. Went to the cross. And on the third day, he's back again. That's what he told Peter in Matthew 16. When he said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. When Peter rebuked Jesus, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I got to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to do that. And he did. So whatever Jesus said through the gospel, it is true because of the resurrection. The resurrection is almost like the icing on the cake. Yes, this man proclaimed that was going to happen, and it did happen. Finally, the women remember his word because they were around when Jesus taught and preached. The apostles also remember. So even though Jesus spoke openly about the resurrection, Jesus Christ never, every time he talked about his death, he always talked about his resurrection, but they missed it. And you know, as a preacher, it bothered me. Why is it that so openly he taught them, he spoke to them and still did not get it? I think it boils down to the expectations that they had about Jesus. You know, when you expect something about somebody and it doesn't matter what a person tells you, you're still not listening. And I also believe that God intentionally did that so that people would believe the resurrection even more. Because if they had expected it, it was like, oh, yeah, big deal. No, they did not even, it was not in their radar, in their minds, that Jesus Christ would raise from the dead. And now the angel announced it again. It's like, now everything is making sense. Remember, Luke tells us that when the women came to the apostles here and told the story that the tomb was empty, Luke said, their word seems to them like nonsense. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Nonsensical. I don't understand it. That's what Peter goes and check it out. And he says, he still came out wondering what happened. You know what happened? That the Savior is alive. That he resurrected. That's why they could not find the body of Jesus Christ. So interesting, the apostles did not believe the women's testimony about Jesus not being in the tomb. They did not believe the women. I can say to you, the apostles did not believe in the resurrection. It's like, what? The apostles of Jesus Christ did not believe in the resurrection. And something made them change their minds. See, the women told them the body is no longer there. So they were not expecting the resurrection. Therefore, they did not believe in the resurrection until something happens that changed their point of view. that changed their perspective. The women told them what happened. They told them about the angels that said that he's no longer here. He's alive. They did not believe their testimony. But what did the apostles believe, you may be asking. That's what I was telling you. The apostles could not have invented this thing that we call the resurrection. They could not have created this story just for the sake of creating a story. Because like somebody sometime told me, that's just folk tales. People just want to create a story. Why would you invent something that you're not even thinking about? I always want to ask people, use logic. Why would you invent something that also could get you killed? I mean, I don't know how many of you would do that, but I wouldn't. If I know my life will be on the line, why am I going to tell you that story? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And so they did not believe the women. They were not expecting that whole Jesus rising from the dead. So what changed the apostles? That's my question. What made them change? Because right now they're being cowards, they're hiding, they're afraid, they're timid, they're just, they don't want to go in public anymore because Jesus is gone. What made them change? What transformed the apostles from cowards into brave and bold witnesses that DJ talked about this morning? What changed? Because the women's testimony did not change them. They went and saw, they did not believe. Something must have happened to the apostles of Jesus Christ that made them change and took the fear away, and now they became bold in the Lord and began to proclaim the gospel. You know what happened to the apostles? You want me to tell you what it is that happened to them that made them change? You probably know the answer already. You know what it was? They saw the risen Jesus. And that changed everything, man. Everything. You see, that's so interesting and so amazing. Jesus Christ knew it. He just didn't resurrect and go to heaven. No, he stayed around for a while so that he can show the disciples evidence that I'm alive. He even ate with them. Because at one time, they said, like, maybe he's a ghost. And said, you got some fish? He ate in their presence so that they can see that a ghost, a spirit, doesn't have body and flesh. It's me. I'm here. I'm alive. And then that's what we celebrate because, man, like, I mean, think about it. You were so afraid, and Jesus made the whole change, the transformation in these men and women. You see, Luke tells us even there were two guys going to a road to Emmaus, and Jesus come alongside of them and talk with them. They did not even know it was Jesus until Jesus, you know, he pretended he was going to go the other way, and then they convinced Jesus to stay with them. And it wasn't until he took bread and broke it. Jesus had this manner of breaking bread that when he did it, man, everybody knew it was him. So when he broke bread, and the man realized, wow, that was Jesus. They went back to Jerusalem and told the apostles, where were they at? Locked behind closed doors. They still, you know, because they did not believe the women. They went back and told the apostles how their hearts were burning when Jesus was telling them from the scriptures that the Messiah must suffer and die and then on the third day rise again. And then finally, Jesus began to appear to the 11. And every time he came, why did Jesus say, peace be with you? And you know, they were like wondering, like, wow, like, what's going on? And he had to tell them again. Let me just show you one of the appearances in the same chapter 24 of Luke, verse 43 and 44. Well, let me take it to 40 so you have the more context. As 40 says, then he said this. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, showing evidence that he was alive. Well, they still did not believe because of joy. Now they don't even believe because they're so joyous. You know, have you ever been excited that just like you come up saying like, man, that just I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Because you don't even know what to say now. After you see Jesus. They were so joyous and amazed. And Jesus asked them, do you have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, ate it in their presence. So they believed that I'm here, I'm alive. Then Jesus said this, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses. The law of Moses is the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the law of Moses. Jesus said, even that tells people about me. What's written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. He covered the whole Old Testament right there. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you are empowered, clothed with power from on high. Jesus began to appear to his disciples to show them, to give them evidence that I'm alive. Remember, there was one time Thomas was not around when Jesus appeared. And the disciples said, hey, we've seen the Lord, man. He ate with us. Man, it's awesome. We're so happy. He's alive. And Thomas said, you know what? I will not believe until I can. Thomas just didn't want to see. And I always tell people, you got to be careful what you ask for. Thomas said, I will not believe until I got to get my finger into the, you know, Jesus, when he was on the cross, one of the soldiers pierced his side. Thomas said, until I put my finger in that wound, I will not believe. And then the Bible says next week, a week later, Jesus comes and say, peace be with you. Say, Thomas, come here, Tommy. You want evidence? Thomas says, and then Thomas made one of the greatest confessions you ever hear in the Bible. He called Jesus, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus said, because you seen, you believed. Blessed are those that without seeing, they believe. That includes you and I. That we believe in God the Father. We sang that song today. So let our faith be more than anthems. Something that you would just make up. I see the evidence through the gospel. Those disciples, I mean, you see the changes in their lives. Something must have happened. And what happened was the risen Christ. They saw Jesus. They spent time with him. And DJ, remember what the text says? Even the religious leader said, man, this man must have been with Jesus. There's no doubt. That's how paramount is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the foundation of our faith. And that's what changed the apostles from cowards into brave missionaries and witnesses. You see, the resurrection of Jesus transformed them. Acts chapter 2, Peter was so bold that he told people, that Jesus who you crucified, you did it. But God raised him from the dead. And salvation is found in no one else, because there's no other man given to man. There's no other name given to man by whom we are to be saved. Only Jesus. And DJ read the one in chapter 4. And Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. You see, he was supposed to be the cornerstone and you chose somebody else. You missed it. You missed the boat. Peter would never talk to people like that before. But something got into Peter, but he says that he was empowered by Jesus himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now they're bold disciples proclaiming. Like I said, if the resurrection had not happened, you and I would not have been talking about this 2,000 years later. Because people try to vanish the resurrection. They try to stop the whole preaching of the gospel. If that had not happened, you and I would not be talking today about it. The disciples, every time the religious authority, the chief priests, the elders, they said, you got to stop. At one time, they got flogged and beaten because they were proclaiming Jesus. And Peter and John told them, judge for yourself. Are we going to obey you or we're going to obey God? We cannot stop telling you what we have seen and heard. We cannot stop telling you that we are witnesses. We seen the Lord. We ate with him. Peter can even tell him that he went fishing one time and Jesus told him 3 times, do you love me? He was there, and Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter, this is what I'm commanding you to do. This is what I'm asking you to do. The resurrection could not have been made up by the apostles because they did not expect it, but then they saw Jesus alive, and they began to proclaim Jesus, the whole gospel message that salvation is only found in him because he's the Lord of the dead and the living and the dead. He's the Lord. He conquered death. You see, my friends, Christianity exists today because of the resurrection. That's if you only hear that about the sermon that I'm talking to you today, hear that. Without the resurrection, there's no Christianity. This idea, like, you know, people, yeah, in Google, Christianity is a religion. We call it Christianity. Like, the whole Christianity is people that believe in Jesus. Without resurrection, there's no Christianity. There's nothing. It was why do I say that? Because it was the resurrection that motivated and empowered the apostles to go and tell people he's alive and we've seen him and salvation is only found in him. And whatever he said in the gospel is true because we were there. And even the religious leaders had to testify like, man, something has gotten to this ordinary fisherman because what they say has power. Because we just sang about that there's power in the name of Jesus, man. And it was evident throughout the preaching of the apostles. Without the resurrection, our preaching is worthless, has no power. I mean, let me just paraphrase that text. Paul says, you know, eat, drink, and live because you don't have any hope. Without the resurrection, it's like, okay, just pack your Bibles, go home. Just nothing matters anymore. But it's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that people can have hope now. Hope of eternal life. In 1 Corinthians 15, the text that Dante Father read this morning, talking about, you see, the church was founded on that, the resurrection of Jesus. The church never preached Jesus dead. I've gone to churches and Jesus still hanging on a cross. That's an unbiblical image of Jesus. He's no longer on that cross. And a cross, a symbol of cursing, it's not going to help anybody. Like people sometimes, they think you have a cross over here that you're going to, good luck. That's a symbol of curse, in case you didn't know. Curse is he who dies on a cross. Jesus became cursed so that you and I can become God's blessing. So, and you see, I even disagree with that. I love that cross of Jesus. No, don't love the cross. Love the one who died on the cross. Because the cross has no power. The power isn't the one that was hanging on the cross, because when they bury him, he said, death could not keep him. Death could not hold him. He just broke free because he said he would. Whatever Jesus said he would do, he does. Our Lord conquered death and promised that those who believe in him, death will not be the final chapter of your life. You see, when we talk about death, we don't want to deal with that. But my friends, that's one of the absolutes that we have. We're all going to experience death. The question will be how and when. But we all have just getting there one day. The moment a child is born, you know eventually that child is going to die. You know, it's like, but we don't like to think about that. But the thing is, now we have somebody who conquered death, who went there before we did, so that when we get there, we don't have to panic. Because he said death is not the final chapter. John chapter 11, Jesus goes to see Martha and Mary, because their brother Lazarus was dead. He went 4 days after he was buried. You know, they got to Jesus and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus said these words to Mary and Martha in chapter 11 of John, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Even though you might experience physical death, but you will live. He said that. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Never die in the sense of eternal death, eternal separation. The Bible talks about two deaths, one physical, one eternal. We're all going to go through the physical one. My prayer is that you don't go and see the eternal one, because the eternal one has another name in Revelation called hell. You know, a lot of preachers don't want to talk about that, but that's in the Bible. And you don't want that death. So when Jesus said, whoever believes in me will never die, you don't have to worry about hell and judgment day when it comes, because you are secure in Jesus, because he conquered death. That is the beauty of the resurrection. That is the hope that you and I have. Without the resurrection, there's no hope. You just die, and you always be afraid of dying, because you don't know what to expect. Jesus said, I've already been there and I'm waiting for you. It's just going to be a transition. Let me just give an example of transition. When a baby is born, the baby only knows the womb. That's all the realm he knows or she knows. The moment the baby comes out of the womb, it's like he's in a different world. He doesn't remember what happened over there. The same way will happen to us when we die. This is the womb where we are right now. When you get out of this place, you are in a different dimension. And you're not going to have Dr. Strange to get you there. You know, with his thing, he won't get you there. Jesus already been there, and then he says, you know, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said it in chapter 14 of John. So I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Everything about Jesus We can believe it true because he resurrected from the dead. He proved to the world that he truly is who he said he was. This is the hope that you and I have because of Christ. Our Lord Messiah is alive. Our belief is not based on a dead Messiah. Our belief is based on the one who conquered death. You see, like I said, I've been to places and Jesus still hanging on a cross. Like, oh, Jesus needs my compassion. He doesn't need anything from me. Jesus doesn't need even our worship. Because he's Jesus, whether you worship him or not. He's Lord, whether you decide to get up in the morning and go on an Easter Sunday to church or not. He's still Lord of lords and King of kings. And he's alive like we sang today. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And he's coming, and you know, we believe in the crucifixion. We believe in the resurrection. But he's coming back again. Paul said it in the text that Dante read today in chapter 1 Corinthians 11, 26. He said, for whenever you drink this cup and you drink, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. If he's dead, how is he going to come? Until he comes because he's alive. And he said, I'm going to go and prepare a place. And if I go, I'm going to come back to take you so where I am, you can also be. And you know the way to that place. Thomas at one time said, Lord, we don't know the way. He says, I am the way. You see, the Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that we worship, the one we consider our Lord and Savior God, has conquered the grave, the death. And you and I don't have to be afraid anymore about dying because our Savior is waiting for us right there. So you're here today and you still do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You want more evidence, perhaps, because you don't believe the resurrection. There's plenty of evidence there that you can just tap into to find out that what Jesus, the apostles, wrote is truly the truth. They were eyewitnesses. You know, even in courts today, eyewitness has the power to send somebody to jail or free them. Eyewitnesses said, we were there with him. You can arrest us, you can kill us, but we cannot deny what we have seen and heard. And DJ challenged me this morning, and I hope they challenge all of us. I hope that our faith, really, that we don't have to wait for Easter to talk about this. So we can tell people, you want to talk about Jesus? Let's talk about him. That we find that boldness, in, you know, to proclaim him, just like the apostles did. Wow, they wanted to stop the whole Christianity in the first century, and it happened. And all that the religious leaders needed to do was to find the body of Jesus. Find the body of Jesus, and that's the end of the story. But they couldn't find him because he was alive. And then, you know, they tried to stop them to the point that they were killing, arresting Christians, and they did not stop the spreading of Christianity. And then there was another man later on that came along named Saul of Tarsus who became Paul, and he became crazy about Jesus to the point that he said, to me, to live is Christ. If I want to live my life, I'm going to do it for the Lord. If I die, that's even better, because I'm going with him. He knew where he was going. If you don't know where you're going this morning, get ready today. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ conquered the grave for you. He already prepared the place. You see, we don't know what eternity is going to be like, but it's going to be something we cannot even imagine. He went to prepare a place that you will never have to grieve anymore, to die anymore, get sick and age. Some of us had a tough time getting up this morning. Picture that, a day that you would never have to deal with sicknesses and pains. Jesus promised that to those who believe in him. In Revelation, he said, look, I make all things new. Perhaps you and I need to be made new today. And it's because of Christ that we can be new. So thank God for his amazing grace. Thank God that our Savior, your Savior, my God, is alive. And as long as I live, I'm going to continue proclaiming him, even when time gets tough. Because, you know, without him, I have no hope. Without him, nothing matters, really. So I hope that if he's not your Savior today, that you give your life to him.